Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema 9 months 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon to everybody. I'm here with Carlo Di Pierro, investor relator. I'm referring to the presentation that has been distributed and available online. So I'm happy with our 9 months factoring turnover growth at 27% on a year-on-year basis. The contribution to factoring turnover from the 17 agreement with banks remain in line with our result for the first half of the year and represent about 33% of the total turnover. I have positive expectations for the next year in particular in relation to the turnover for tax receivable following the recent expansion of the split payment structure to a wider set of businesses. The CQS CQP outstanding reached 423 million, almost twice the figure of a year ago. In the second quarter, we opened the second dedicated branch to our pawnbroking business in Rome, and by the end of this year, beginning of next year, we plan to open further two branches in Naples and Palermo. The net interest income was 54.1 million, including the 9 million in 2017 for the accounting update on the late payment interest, of which 3.7 million did not relate to the 2017 period. In the same period of last year, we had also a part that was not related to the period, that was 5 million of late payment interest that are relating to, as I mentioned, the period before. We saw a net income of 21.8 million. Total operating costs are up 7% on a year-on-year basis, in line with the expectation and without changes compared also to the previous quarter result. The expected return on average equity target at the end of the year for this year should land in the area of 20%, excluding the component of late payment interest that are not related to this year period. The core business funding cost is stable on a quarter-on-quarter basis as well as on a year-on-year basis. The retail funding represents 50% of the total fund. The liquidity coverage ratio and net stable funding ratio is above regulatory requirement, and common equity tier 1 and total capital ratio are respectively 12.4% and 16.1%. Let's move to slide number 3. Our growth rate of factoring outstanding is the consequence, natural consequence of the 27% year-on-year turnover growth that is being remain constant during the entire 9 months of this year. Market environment did not change, and payment delay are consistent with our expected average collection period for factoring receivable. Healthcare obligor represent 15% of our total outstanding. And as I already mentioned before, I'm also pleased with the diversification that we have seen with our business from the CQS and CQP area, and expect to continue to buy portfolio from our seven originator. As you may have seen in the press release that we issued a few minutes ago, we also, this morning, we signed an agreement to acquire a minority stake of 19.9% in company IDV Finance, which is an intermediary specialized in buying and originating receivables on the CQS. We also acquiring same amount in terms of percentage of stake in a subsidiary company that does servicing of CQS and CQP. We have, as I mentioned, reached the 423 million of outstanding, of which 87% is public administration risk. In the first 9 months of this year, we have purchased in total 176 million of loans. As also was the case before, we will continue to support the growth of this business through the securitization program, which we started in 2016. Our current expectation is that we won't sell notes in the public market this year, and therefore we will not took any one-off profit for any sales in 2017. But we will continue to consolidate the loans and book the interest in the normal course of business over the lifetime of the loan. Moving to slide number four, and the 9 months 2017, the net interest income, as I mentioned, is equal to 54.1 million, which include 21.9 million of LPI. We closed the third quarter with a net income of 21.8 million. Now, as already anticipated, let me go a bit more in details about the adjustment that we have made on the accrual of the late payment interest. As you may recall, at the end of last quarter, we had expected the recovery rates for late payment interest as follows: 65% for the healthcare obligor and 15% for other public administration. This has been updated in view of our actual historical collection in the non-healthcare in particular, confirming a recovery rate in excess of 80%. For this reason, we decided in agreement also with the auditors to have a recognition of the rate of profit and loss for the non-healthcare from the level of 15 to the level of 31%, while for the healthcare component, everything remained practically unchanged. In compliance with the IAS 8 on the accounting estimate, we estimated recovery rate will the estimate of recovery rate will be periodically reviewed based on the actual update on the collection. So in other words, new adjustment could happen, could be expected also in the future. On the 30th of September, the average recognition rate, if we consider this adjustment, is 38% compared to the 28% average of June this year. Still conservative compared to the collection rate that actually we have seen, which I repeat has been above 80% for anything that has been for the data point that has been collected during this period. The impact from the updating of the recovery estimate, so the recognition of this interest income, is 9 million, as I mentioned before, 3.7 are not related to 2017 number. As regard to our strategy, we haven't changed the strategy and the approach. So we continue to take legal action, and therefore the accrual of LPI only for the piece of receivable that goes to the legal action, which represent about 10%. As a request from also some investor and analyst, you can find in the appendix of the presentation that eventually I can go through it later on, in page 13, the vintage of the accruals on a year-on-year basis, where you will see on that appendix the percentage that so far has been activated in terms of legal action. And of course, the most recent receivable are only 2% has been activated in legal action, so means that this number may go up in the future. And by vintage, you see what are the impact in terms of recasting that could happen in the various year before, since the time the receivable has been bought. The factoring contribution to the net interest income represent 83%. So as I mentioned, the LPI, 9 million is the accrual mentioned before, of which 3.7 not related to the year. Now, when we look, and maybe when you will see more in details the balance sheet, and is also mentioned in the press release, the collected LPI at which 10.9 million, these are cash collected LPI, while the net accrued LPI is 10.9 million, out of which 13.7 is the accrual and 2.7 is the release of accruals that are related to the previous year that has been released because we have collected the amount. So when you look collected by cash collected versus accrual net of the release, you have 10.9 versus 10.9 million. The net interest income in the 9 months has been influenced by higher contribution of CQS CQP loan, which is up 4.1 million on year-on-year basis, and to lesser extent by the cost of funding saving of 40 basis points driven by the TLTRO, of which 300,000 euro are related to the second half of 2016. The loan loss provision in 2017 were mainly influenced by the first quarter 2017 write back on factoring. In this quarter, they are in line with the expectation. Personal expenses reflect the headcount growth following Beta Stepstone merger, higher average salary, and non-compete agreement, which has all been booked on the first half of the year, and they represent 1 million of one-off for the entire year. Moving to the next slide, slide number 5, so having a closer look at the balance sheet, as you can see, the total assets stand at almost 2 billion at the end of the period, higher compared to the same period of last year. The government portfolio remained unchanged of 500 million following the increase of the AFS component, which is equal to 460 million, and the residual maturity is 8 months for this government portfolio. The total loan to customer are up 19% on a year-on-year basis. Factoring receivable are up versus year-end of 12% and represent 69% of the total loan on a quarter-on-quarter basis, thanks to the turnover originated during the 9 months. CQS and CQP reach 423 million due to additional loan purchase, and now this business represent 26% of the total loans. Due to bank is up compared to the end of last year, mainly because of higher interbanking with lending from the ECB stable versus the year end. Due to customer is higher on year versus year end because of higher repos, 24 million, related to the increase of the portfolio of government compared to last year, higher current account, 32 million. While term deposits are in line with versus year-end and slightly lower on a quarter-on-quarter basis. 2017 figure in the debt security issue line include the 15.5 million of the Tier 2 bond, which has been issued at this year in the last quarter of the year. You will also see the 1 million of the Tier 2 bond, which has been issued in October, it has been a tap of the existing Tier 2, as well as the first inaugural senior bond issuance of 175 million, which has been done at the beginning of October with the results that are where we are very pleased. So now moving back to the P&L and turning to the slide number 6. On the top left side of the slide, we show the trend of our pricing yield and funding period relating to pricing. This is the usual graph. Probably this time has been placed from a graphical standpoint in a different place, but it's exactly the same graph that we were used to show also in the past, where you see that the target yield at the expected collection date are in line also with our expectation, which are for the third quarter, 5.9%. The expected funding period is a bit longer, but this is influenced by a transaction, in particular one transaction of a significant size that has a funding period that is quite longer because it's a transaction relating to a sector of healthcare that has a longer type of duration because of the type of the receivable. On the top right of the slide, there's the evolution of the factoring outstanding, which is influenced by the turnover growth, and you will see the portion of the outstanding that is in legal collection versus the total amount of outstanding. On the lower left side, this is also in line with what we have presented in the past. What we did was to recasting the full 9 months, taking into account the new accrual that I described before, and that will allow you to have a like for likes, so you can see pretty stable yield, excluding the first quarter 2017, which has been influenced by a weaker turnover of the last quarter of the last year. As a reminder, we always calculate this gross yield combining the interest and commission, because on the factoring without recourse, component of the two will need to be summed up because they are also amortized exactly in the same way. Now moving to the slide 7 of the presentation, you will see that our operating costs are up 7% on a year-on-year basis. Personal expenses represent 45% of the total operating cost, with an increase from 11.1 million to 12.8 million due to higher headcount following the acquisition and merger of Beta Stepstone, an average increase of the average salary, and the cost for the non-compete agreement, which has been signed in the first half of 2017, that represent a one-off component of 1 million. Servicing costs are mainly related to factoring and benefit from our internalization of the collection. Other costs include 0.8 million yearly ordinary contribution of the National Resolution Fund and 300,000 euro provision for the deposit scheme. Other cost growth are mainly driven by IT expenses and to less extent investing in the new business opportunity. Moving to the slide 8, retail funding represent 50% of total funds. There were 51 at the end of 2016, where retail funding cover 56% of core business assets, pretty much in line with the previous quarter. The term deposit stock is stable on a quarter basis and also on the year-on-year basis, with also the average cost that is almost stable. 82% of current account stock is corporate, which is slightly up on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and about 27% of term deposit are coming from German and Austrian citizens. In October 2017, as I already mentioned, we successfully issued our first senior public bond for institutional investor. As I mentioned, it's under 75 million fixed rate, where we pay under 75 basis points. The demand was higher than our expectation, and therefore we decided to issue under 75 rather than the original under 50 that we plan to issue. And also in terms of yield, our guidance was under 90 basis points, and we reduce also the amount of the yield that we pay in the transaction. In the secondary market, by the way, we have observed the transaction, and we saw a little tightening of the transaction, which is in line with the premium, a correct level of premium to be given to investor, but it proved also the fact that the pricing was in line with the market. The positive market condition allow us also to increase the interbank stock on a quarter-on-quarter and a year-on-year basis. Wholesale funding include the securitization of last year as a collateral to the ECB, but also the funding of the new securitization, which we are using as a collateral for through a repo transaction with an Italian bank. Moving to the last slide is when we look at the risk policy. The non-performing loans are up on a quarter-on-quarter basis, mainly due to increase of the past due. But when you look at the details, the net bad loans represent 1.8% of total loans, as at the end of the third quarter are lower than the last quarter. Gross bad loans are a slight increase on a quarter-by-quarter basis due to some deterioration on SME state guarantee loans portfolio and some factoring position with the private entity. Past due is mainly attributed to factoring receivable without recourse from public administration, which we consider normal for the sector and does not represent an issue in terms of credit quality and probability of collection. The loan loss provision are in line with expectation, and the third quarter 2017 are mainly on factoring. The slide number 10, the Core Tier 1 and total capital ratio at the end of the period are respectively 12.4% and 16.1%, both slightly lower on the quarter-on-quarter basis. The RWA are up on a quarter-by-quarter due mainly to the purchase of CQS and CQP, representing at the end of the period, together with the SME exposure, 31% of the total RWA. There are more and more frequent indications, which I would like to share with you, that are pointing to the fact that the regulator may significantly reduce the RWA absorption level of the CQP-CQS, based on the observation that the product has a very low level of default. There's no guarantee, there's no certainty, but there are continued rumors that move to be more optimistic that this revision will happen sooner than later. As we did last year, at the end of June and September, we estimate the potential increase of operating risk, which are based on the annualized total income of the period. This is a pure calculation. Now, before moving to the Q&A, let me maybe jump on the slide number 13, just to give a bit more explanation. When you go to this slide in the annex, you see on the upper side the percentage of the receivable by vintage that has been moved to legal action. So out of the total amount of receivable we have purchased on a specific year, there's been a percentage that has been moved to legal action. Now, when you move to the lower part of the slide, which is the one with all these wonderful colors, if you look, for instance, 2015, which is the green component, you will see that in 2015 we have 7.4 million of LPI, and these are 100% of LPI. Then we do the accrual, as I mentioned before, on average for only 38% of it. But 100% of LPI for 2015 are 7.4 million. 5.8 million are related to 2016, that are again receivable that has been bought in 2015, and 4.4 million are the component of receivable of 2015 that has been accrued in 2017. When you look back up on the slide of 2015, you see that 9% has been moved to legal action. Therefore, we may expect, we could estimate that this 9% will move up a little bit to reach the level of 10%. So there's going to be some additional LPI that are going to affect the period of 2015, 2016, and 2017. Moving to the 2016, you can do exactly the same type of exercise, and this is the gray component, which is for 2016, 4.6, 3.8 for 2017, but only 7% has been moved to legal action. So you could expect that an additional 30% of increase that will have an effect for both 2016 and 2017. 2017 is only 2%, so most of the receivable did not move to legal action, is too early, and is only 1.6%. These in the future, of course, are going to grow. So this will give probably an answer to the vintage and how this change of an increase of LPI that moving to legal action will affect the recasting amount of and the actual yield on the receivables. Now, I don't have any other slides, so I will leave the floor to you to ask any question.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Alberto Srubert with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions about the business. The first one would be, do you have any idea of what will be the implication of the new ECB addendum on your loan loss provision versus public administration? Because normally your receivables should go back to performing earlier, but if they are insecure, they might be forced to do some loan loss provision, even if they are just past due after a couple of years. The second question would be if you can make just a really fast recap of your accrual base, if they are at 31 for all health non-healthcare receivable, while 60% for all the health one, or if there are any other accrual base that I'm missing. And my last question will be on your expectation on CQS, if you have any indication of what you will be your expectation about the CQS and how many synergy you will be able to gain from the new acquisition, and if you can say which will be the contribution you expect from the acquisition you spoke during the business plan, during the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you. About the ECB addendum, while you know the discussion is still on the air with a lot of political fight between the European Commission and the European Central Bank, because it looks like that ECB is moving to a role of regulator rather than the role of surveillance. Looking carefully of the situation, the addendum, first of all, apply to the banks that are under the supervision of the ECB. So as a first comment, this will not apply to us. But even if this will apply to us, the addendum states that banks will have the obligation to cover within a period of 2 years 100% of the receivables, and in case they don't do it, they have to justify to the regulator the reason why they don't do it. We strongly believe, and this is also a debate within the factoring association, that when it's related to public administration, it's quite easy to prove that any past due of the public administration do not transform into default. So there is a easy way to explain the rationale why we should not take a coverage of 100% simply because there's no default that is the consequence of the past due. This is can be easily proven by numbers. I know that there are still ongoing discussions and we will monitor, but for the time being, I don't see any impact on the business. Now, in terms of accrual split, the 75% is the amount that is related to the healthcare, while the amount of the non-healthcare was 15%. This 15% has been moved up to 31%. So considering that the healthcare in terms of percentage versus the non-healthcare is much smaller, the average move from 28% to 38%. So that is, I hope that this answer to your question, that I understood correctly your question. In terms of CQS, CQP,
Just here, okay, the average is 38%, but if you tell me that the healthcare is 65% and is the biggest part, I wonder
the
how...
Smaller, is the smaller part.
The smaller, okay.
Yes. The healthcare for us is the smaller component. The total outstanding of healthcare receivable is 15%, total outstanding. And so, you know, on a pari passu basis, on the legal action receivable on healthcare is the same percentage. So the biggest component is the non-healthcare for our receivables. Okay? Now, moving to the CQS and CQP. So in terms of expectation, we continue to buy with a run rate of about 30 million per month. With the seven originators. On top of the seven originators, we are going to, first of all, add a new originator, which is the one that we have decided to become a minority shareholder. Clearly, we are a minority shareholder, so there's no synergy that we can have, but is a step towards also looking at the more direct on the servicing as well as more direct on the origination of the product. So this is a company that is a small company with the expectation of receivable that they may be able to purchase of about 100 million per year on the first year. And part of those receivable will be financed by us directly. We have to apply exactly the same level of pricing that we apply to all the others, so we don't make any preference because there is an issue of transfer pricing as well, so we are not making any preference, but there is a guarantee stream of receivables that we will be able to buy from this new entity. So through this transaction, not only will move a bit more down the chain of value of the product, that we have secure future turnover on this asset class.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. My question is again on the acquisition of this 19.9% stake in ADV and ProCredit. First question is on the impact on your capital ratios deriving from the acquisition. And the second one is more strategic. We'd like to understand whether eventually you could be interested in taking full control of a distributor. And what could be the trigger for doing that, given that you said there are, again, some rumors that the risk weighting of CQS, CQP loans could be revised, which has been in the air for some years now. I'd like to know if you have some new elements that make you confident that this may happen next year, and if this could be a trigger for moving down the value chain and acquiring distribution channels. Thank you.
Thank you. So in terms of capital impact is almost irrelevant because the amount of equity that we invested is less than $1 million. So you know that this company has a very limited capital because they intermediate the asset, so don't have a huge balance sheet. So they buy and immediately they sell. So we are able to acquire this amount. We may move up in the future our participation to this company. This is part also of the agreement without necessarily taking the full control. Now, in terms of strategy, it is clearly the change of regulation will be potentially could be an important trigger event for us, because if the RWA will be reduced, and in term of source, personally, these are things that have been rumored at the level of the Commission. It seems to be that the Commission is working on a new CRR that could be implemented by the end of next year. So, as you know, when a new CRR is going to be passed by the Parliament, it will be immediately effect also in the various countries. So there's no longer the case that you need to approve a domestic regulation, but when a directive, when a change like that happens, immediately this will be applicable to the various countries. And with different sources, it seems that there is an agreement among the lawmakers on the various countries, even though then the word is in the end of the Parliament and the timing is on the side of the Parliament. So this is the what we know about that. But rumors are coming now from different sources that are senior sources in the various type of lawmakers. In terms of clearly this could be a trigger event for us to consider then to move down the chain, and we are following the process very carefully. When we decided to enter in the CQS, we started slowly. We look at the product, we look at all the risk, we implement all the IT system in-house to control. Now we are moving to a phase where we are able to understand going forward more in details what are the implication of the direct origination, the cost, the servicing that are connected to the origination, and this will give us enough information to take at the right time the decision of eventually moving down the chain.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is a follow-up from Luigi Tramontana with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry for being late. Regarding the NII in Q4, there are several elements coming in the quarter with the new bond issues. Generally, a very strong quarter for a turnover generation. Can you confirm that the 24 million NII you booked in Q3 will be at the minimum for Q4? Probably even we'll see some growth. Thank you.
So when I look at certainly the turnover of the last quarter is always the most relevant one, and as happened also last year. We, in the meantime, we see leads. We are not in the position yet to say whether those leads will become in turnover or not. Certainly, we have reached a point today already where any turnover that is generated from today onward is going to be on top of the turnover of the previous year. So in other words, any euro million that we are generating today represent growth. So we can say that with the end of the third quarter, we already have done the turnover of the full year of 2016. So the next 2 months is on top of it. How much, again, I don't want them, as happened last year, that the last minute, in the last week of the year, something doesn't go through. In the meantime, I have a positive expectation. In terms of NII, I think that is important to mention the fact that we are not selling, we didn't sell the securitization, we are not selling the new securitization, will not allow us to book a profit one-off on the CQS side, and therefore this amount is not lost, but indeed is going to be the more in terms of return, but not necessarily on the same year. So this effect it could change a little bit the NII expectation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The next question is from Andrew Mitchell with Edison. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I just had a couple of questions on CQS and CQP. I wasn't quite sure from what you said during the presentation on public sale of securitization. Obviously, you're not planning to do anything about that this year, but is that still in your thoughts as a possibility for subsequent years? And then you mentioned when you were talking about ADV that they would give you some guaranteed level of turnover. I wonder if that's just a general sort of commitment or whether there is a specific number out of their hopes for 100 million during a year that they would direct it to you.
Okay, in terms of selling the securitization, by the year end, certainly not planning that direction. Now, the decision of eventually selling securitization in the future, it could always be on the table, and it will pretty much depend on price. The reason why we didn't sell the securitization this year was not because there was no buyers, but simply because the price was not in line with our expectation. If we only look at the securitization of 2016, so the first securitization, you have to consider that the embedded NII on the embedded EBITDA on the securitization was about 19.9 million. I'm happy to give away the 19.9 million in the next few years for a significant upfront P&L. If this is not significant, there's no point for me to give it away. Now, in particular with the fact that due to the increase of the LPI, we will increase not only now, but also in the future, the profit that goes in the P&L, there's going to be support in terms of RWA for the continued growth of the product. If the change of RWA on CQS will happen, this will have an effect which is very huge in terms of capital release of risk weighting. So before taking a decision of giving away future profit, we need to see what are the upfront profit we will be able to generate. So the change, compared to this year, I would say that there's been these two changes in summary. One is that expectation of a reduction of RWA are more close than in the past. And so that is certainly a relevant point. Second point is that the increase of accrual on LPI will allow to continue to have a consistent amount of new profit that will be capital that support the growth. In terms of ADV, they in their plan for the first year, they envisage to have origination in the area of 100 million. and this is their business plan. We will be happy to finance up to 50% of this amount. Then, of course, the trigger is we are happy to finance, but they need to originate. So there's at the end is in the end of the market if they are able or not to originate this turnover. In case they do originate and it looks like that the management is quite committed to release that, we will be the one that finance this portfolio.
That's great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is a follow-up from Alberto Schubert with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
I was wondering, just to have a better idea, how much is there a commission for generating the CQS? So how much will be interesting later on to go down this business, so the retain earning you will have? And the other question that's come up to my mind is that you put on your paper that on your presentation on slide 6 that your DFS days has almost double in the third Q up to 611 days. And I the other day it's come out news that Banca IFIS see an average time period to recollect commercial debts versus public administration between 41 day and 55 days. So I was wondering why you were deviating so much, and if you think that this longer period of time, even if not 600 but still above 200 day, will remain for the next couple of years.
Okay, so in terms of rather than commission, let's say that the final individual, the investor that buy the CQS, they have a rate, they pay an amount that are in the area of 12%. Out of this 12%, there is one component that is insurance, which of course goes with insurer and will continue to go to insurer. There is the one component that goes to the agent, and there is the one component that goes to intermediary. We are currently originated with a gross yield that is in the area of 4%, slightly up, but let's say 4%. So there is a value from 12 to 4% that is left on the table, and this is a value that is spread probably on an even basis among the three parties. One is insurer, one is agent, and the other are intermediary in between. So that is the point of understanding whether part of these could be captured directly or through the participation, because it's going to be captured at the level of ADD, and being a shareholder will be able to benefit from that side. So as more the people will be successful, and there is a clear incentive to be successful, as I'm not the majority shareholder. This is a company where it's in the end of individual skill with the certain skills that hold interest to grow their business, to make money, to be successful, as was the case for Banca Sistema when I also think about myself. So we have all the interest. These are imprenditorial that are going to do their best to make it successful. And we are going to benefit as a shareholder of having these people focus and being able to generate the business. On your second question about the number of days, as I mentioned, 611 include the transaction that is quite a structured transaction, which is a longer maturity, so it cannot be considered this been a new trend, but while I cannot comment about competitors or peers, clearly the fact that we are not so much involved on the healthcare part of the business is where the funding period has been reduced dramatically, but we are more involved on non-healthcare. And when we look at the non-healthcare, there are area of structured solution where we have to put in place our lawyer that understands what is the product. These are not regular invoices. These are transactions that you need to have a study, you need to have a value, and are able to understand better what is the duration on this type of receivable. When you look at the tax receivable, in some of the tax receivable, you may have duration that is longer than the usual receivable, so this is also going to be added on the average. So, last but not least, bear in mind that the distribution through local banks that represent 33% of our growth allow us to dig into an area of mid-sized corporate that may have more backlog of receivable, and when you have a backlog then you may have a longer duration of the receivable as well. So it's not necessary that if you are on the public administration, you are necessary on the same type of asset class. Public administration can be everything, but not necessarily all the same. When I look at the government on that respect, when I look at the statistic of the government, just to give you an example, while in the construction company in the past, were used to receive the authorization to invoice, because under the Italian rules for public administration, when a company make a construction vis-a-vis a public administration, before invoicing the public administration, they have to receive the authorization by the public administration that allow them to invoice the due amount. Now, the public administration is taking more time to authorize invoicing. So in the past, we were used to buy the receivable after the overdue. Now, people are selling us the receivable as soon as they issue the receivable, because there is already a lot of time that has been already elapsed. So when you look at the delay, we are not at all convinced that there is any improvement on the delay of public administration. Public administration is using a lot of tricks to making the statement that things are improving. Just to give you another example, as far as we know, the capital of this country only registered on the platform of the Minister of Finance a few months ago. So all the debt of the city of Rome were not taken into account in the calculation of delay. And I can tell you that the city of Rome is not one of the best players in the country. Okay, so just to give you, so I do not see any trend that, except from the healthcare, plain vanilla healthcare, they are paying faster, even though some of those entities, they are not paying the back book, by the way. They are forgetting to pay the back book. But anything that is current on the healthcare is much faster than in the past. But non-healthcare is a different world. Structure activity or contract on the non-healthcare is a different world. Tax receivable, we are talking about even another different asset class.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Garbi, there are no more questions registered this time.
Okay, thank you very much, and enjoy your weekend.